Good morning, everybody. If you don't know who I am, my name's Rachel. As Lucy said, I'm one of the elders here. I'm a new preacher. I've only been preaching for a couple of years, so I'm still very much in that learning phase, and I'm enjoying it. And what I want to talk to you about this morning is something I hadn't heard of until fairly recently. So I'm going to start with a confession this morning. Okay. Angela came to an elders meeting a couple of months ago, and she'd been praying and thinking about what our series should look like. And she came and she spoke to us, and she said, "I've been really thinking about this, and I think our next series should be broadly based on the O antiphons." I didn't have a clue what she was talking about. But of course, I didn't give that away, did I? I looked sage and vaguely wise, and I said, "Ah, yes. Yes, what a great theme." So I want to be clear this morning, I hadn't heard of these at all until Angela raised them a couple of months ago, but I'm so glad she did, because I've learnt an awful lot as I've been studying them. And one of my observations about preaching is that I think I learn more than anybody else in the process, as Jesus teaches me things as we go along. So today we're continuing in our series, which is called What's in a Name? And it's looking at some of the names of Jesus given in the Old Testament. Well, they didn't know his name was going to be Jesus. They called him the Messiah, the coming King. So I've mentioned the O antiphons, which were a series of prayers. Here's a bit of history for you. First put together in the 6th century in Italy and often used during Advent, but they're not Advent exclusive. So an antiphon, you're all saying, "Rachel, we know this, but I didn't know this, so let me share this with you. An antiphon is a refrain or a repeated line in prayer or a song. So we often see them when we read in the Psalms. If you love the Psalms, I do. And we use them sometimes when we do collective prayer. It might be a line like, "Your mercy endures forever," that we repeat after each section. So there are 6 of them. You'll be glad I'm not going to talk in detail about all 6 today. Peter spoke about one last week when he spoke about O Wisdom. There's one which is called O Adonai, which is name for God. So O Lord is what that means. There's O Root of Jesse, which we're going to look at today. There's O Key of David, which we're going to look at next week. And then still to come, we have O Rising Sun and O King of Nations, which is wonderful. If you wanted to find them today, the most common place you'd find them is in that beautiful hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, which we often sing at the start of Advent. So each of them uses a different title for Jesus and looks ahead with longing to the coming of the Messiah. So I've got the really odd one, basically. That's how I can describe it. When Angela said to me, "Rachel, would you like to do the Root of Jesse?" I thought, no, I really wouldn't, because I don't know anything about it. But then I realised that actually this was a great opportunity to learn, and that's what I've been doing. It's a strange description. It comes in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and hopefully in the next 15 minutes we're going to find out about it together. So I've just set the clock, 15 minutes and we're done, guys. Okay, so all my Bible history and things we're going to talk about, you just have to hold on for 15 minutes. So let's start in Isaiah. So Isaiah is an Old Testament book. If you want to have your Bible with you, there are some in the backs of the seats, or you might have it on your phone or your iPad, or you might have your own Bible with you. Extra brownie points if you have your own Bible with you. So Isaiah is a book full of prophecy about the future of the people of Israel, about the coming of a Messiah. So in historical terms, where are we? Well, we're back a long way. We're about 600 years before Christ. So that's about 2,625 years ago from now. The people of Judah, who Isaiah was sent to, are doing okay. They're not currently enslaved by anybody, but they aren't doing well at following God. Isaiah brings prophecy to them, and some of Isaiah's prophecies are really bad news for these people, and some of them are the most amazing news. So Isaiah comes to tell them, bad news, guys, at some point fairly soon you're going to be captured and sent into exile in Babylon. And later on, this prophecy comes true, they'll stay there for more than 100 years. But the good news of the prophecies of Isaiah relate to the coming of a Messiah, the coming of a king. So I just want to point out to you that Isaiah prophesies this 600 years before Jesus is born. We know then a number of the other prophets, right through to Micah, prophesy the coming of a Messiah, the coming of a king. But then Jesus doesn't come till even 400 years after that last prophecy. So it's a long time ahead. So we're going to have a look at a reading together. Oh, we're already there. You've probably been reading that while I've been talking. We're going to have a look at some readings together, a couple of verses from Isaiah to start with. So here's reading number one. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. That's reading number one. Let's go on to reading number two, if we may, please. Just a few verses later, Isaiah prophesies, "In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious." So what is this name used for the Messiah? We're fortunate we live now. We know that the coming Messiah is Jesus Christ. But here he's labelled with this funny name. He's labelled as a root and the root of Jesse. What's that all about? Well, if we go even further back in the Old Testament, we come to the book of Samuel. Samuel was a prophet and a priest for God, and God told him to go and find the future king of Israel. Up until that point, there had not been a king over Israel. They didn't need one. God was their king. But the Israelites were getting very shifty and very restless and calling for a king. And God, in his goodness, finally said, "Okay, if you want a king, we'll find you a king." So God sent Samuel to Bethlehem. You'll have heard of Bethlehem before, to the home of a man called Jesse. Jesse's life is very busy. He has 8 sons and 2 daughters. And Jesse lines up all of his sons in front of Samuel. Samuel, they're all fine strapping guys. Samuel thinks, "Oh, it must be one of them." He works his way through them, and God's saying to him, no, it's not one of these guys. So Samuel turns to Jesse and says, "Do you have any other sons?" He says, "Well, I've got one, the youngest. He's out in the field with the sheep." "Call him back," says Samuel. And of course, David, the shepherd, is the one of Jesse's sons who becomes anointed as king of Israel. It's a really great story, and if you don't know that very well, I'd encourage you to spend some of your afternoon reading it. It's 1 Samuel chapter 16. For those of you who really love looking at all the connections in the Bible, Jesse is the grandson of Ruth and Boaz. Remember Ruth and Boaz? Their love story is set out in the book of Ruth, another great story to read, and another story that points towards Jesus, in that case, Jesus as Redeemer. In fact, Jesse was so well connected in Bible terms that he could trace his own genealogy back to Abraham. That's how far it's going. Anybody here keen on genealogy? Wave at me if you like looking at family trees and things. Well done, Lisa. Everybody else is just going at me. I'm not at all. My brother is really into it and regularly sends me USB sticks with the whole of our family tree on it, which I never look at. But nevertheless, I'm grateful for them. So why the root of Jesse? Well, there are some ideas about that. We don't know why the Messiah is described as the son of Jesse rather than the son of David, who was a king. He is called the son of David in other places. But I liked these two. First of all, it was clear that the Messiah would come through a human lineage. And interestingly, that they used Jesse, who is not really a big deal in Bible terms, rather than David, who is a biblical big deal, king of God's people. Secondly, there were lots of terms used in these readings. You might have seen them. There's the shoot, the branch, and the root of Jesse. It gives us a clear picture that the Messiah is coming out of a situation and a people that appears to be dead wood. And after that happens, we get this picture of something that's been cut down, something that's been destroyed, something that's been heavily diminished. So the picture that Isaiah gives us is something new growing out of old roots. The Messiah that the people of Israel were desperately waiting for. And Isaiah 11:10, this lovely image of the banner. Does anybody remember that old chorus? "He took me to his banqueting table and his banner over me was love." Lovely chorus. We nearly sung that today. So it makes it clear in this verse that when the Messiah comes, he will bring hope and joy, and he will establish a great future. If we move forward, please, Chris, into the New Testament, we can see several places where this is used. And this is a quote from Romans 15:12, which says, this is Paul speaking, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all the people extol him. And again, he quotes from Isaiah, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. This verse is great news for us, because I don't think we have many people of Jewish lineage in church today or around us in Long Ashton. This says that the Messiah is for all peoples and all nations. And that's great, because that includes us. So we have this picture here in Isaiah of Jesus. We know that Jesus was pre-existing the people of Israel. The Bible tells us that he was there at the beginning of all things. We also then have this picture of something new, springing up, springing out, growing and rising to new heights, which again is a great description of Jesus. And if we move on in the New Testament, we get to Colossians 1, 15 and 17. Please excuse the picture. I know we don't know what Jesus looked like, but that was the picture I could find. And he looks pretty friendly to me, so I thought that was a good one. The Son, that's Jesus. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven, things on earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and before him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So this is Jesus, King and Saviour. Jesus who you can trust with anything and everything. Jesus for whom nothing is impossible. And then right at the end of the Bible, in one of the last chapters of the last book of the Bible, we hear these words recorded as the words of Jesus himself. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. So in this reading, Jesus claims his kingly lineage as the root of David. And if you haven't read them, if you find Revelation really loses you, go to the last few chapters. They're such an incredible picture of King Jesus seated in glory and the glories of heaven around him. Jesus in his rightful place. Jesus interceding for us. Jesus full of light and holiness. Well, at this point, you might be saying, thank you, Rachel. That was reasonably interesting Bible history. And it's always good to be in scripture. And thank you for reminding us that Jesus was, is, and always will be Lord. But what are we supposed to do with that? So now we understand a little bit more about that term, root of Jesse. In fact, now we understand shoot, branch, and root of Jesse. We understand how that links the coming Messiah back through the whole history of the people of Israel. We understand that Jesus was, is, and always will be, that it is Jesus who holds all things together. But that seems a bit high and lofty this morning for us. So what are we supposed to do with that? Well, if we go back to that original image of the tree stump with a new shoot or a new branch coming out of it, let's think about that. I don't know about you, but a dead tree stump isn't a very inspiring image for me. I don't go and look at dead tree stumps if I'm looking for inspiration, if I'm trying to gather my energy and my enthusiasm for something new. A dead tree stump is not where I would go. A dead tree stumps remind us that things die, that sometimes there really isn't a golden future ahead, that something that was wonderful, a tree in all of its splendour, is gone. And so I'm going to say this carefully, and I include myself in this. This morning I know there are people in church who have been in that place of the dead tree stump, where all of a sudden in your life there's been no hope, no joy, no way forward. I know that because I'm one of those people, and I know that because some of you in grace have shared your stories with me. Things happen to us that are unexpected and truly awful. Maybe something happened to you that really made you feel that your life was a dead end. Maybe your husband or your wife died. and your life went from colour to black and white at that point. Maybe you've experienced health problems so serious that they absolutely changed your life, maybe for a while or maybe permanently. Perhaps your husband or wife left you and all your plans for the future went with them. Perhaps you've been through the searing pain of losing a child before or after birth, and you don't think you'll ever be the same again. Perhaps you've lost a job that you loved or failed the exams that would have given you career security. Perhaps your family are gone now and you live with the loneliness of that. Perhaps you just can't find a sense of peace or a sense of security. So here is the message for you from that name of Jesus as Root of Jesse. You are not a dead end. Your life is not over. Jesus, described as shoot, branch and root, came. It was 600 years in the Bible after Isaiah's prophecy that he came. But he came, and with him came hope and joy and salvation and new life. And that was true 2,000 years ago, and it is true today. Jesus can and will do new things in your life if you let him. Your life is not over, and there is new life ahead for you. There are no promises at all in the Bible about a pain-free life here. There is no assurance that life won't be difficult or that Jesus will make everything wonderful. But there is assurance of that in heaven. And this morning I wanted to come and say Jesus sees you and he has things for you to be moving into right now. Do not give up. Don't think you are done. Jesus sees you and loves you. And there is more ahead of you before you walk through death into glory. So for those of you who haven't been through some of the things I mentioned earlier, I would like you to be encouraged too. We don't know what lies ahead in life, but Jesus himself says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. And that reminds us that all the things that we do, we have this wonderful chance to grow, to become more, to do more, to be more of what Jesus wants us to be. So look, we started back in 6th century Italy with the O antiphons. Now we all know what an antiphon is. Let's look wise and sage together. Yeah, we're all there. We've been back right into the early Old Testament, from Abraham through to Samuel and Jesse and the choosing of David to be king of Israel. We've come forward into the New Testament to see Paul telling people about Jesus, which was his very favourite thing to do. We've been to Colossians, which remind us that Jesus is in all and over all. I think we've ended in the words of Jesus in the book of Revelation, where he declares himself Lord, and we say, come, Lord Jesus. So this morning, I just want to remind you that whatever has happened for you, whether that's happening now or it happened a long time ago, your life is not destroyed. Your life is not dead wood. So this morning I pray that we might ask Jesus to do something fresh in us, like a shoot or a branch rising out of dead wood. Let's ask the Lord to do something new and fresh in each of us, to give us hope and use us in new ways to serve him. I've used this phrase before and I would use it again. I am absolutely convinced that we keep running the race till we hit the door at the end that takes us into heaven. So wherever you are, God has fresh things and new things and wonderful things to do with you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we come this morning and we lift up your name because you are holy and mighty and wonderful, because you came for us, the answer to hundreds of years of prophecy. You're that plan built before the beginning of the world. And Lord, you have died on our behalf. You have saved us from our sin. You have risen from death. And now you are seated at the right hand of God the Father in glory. Lord, one day we will see you and it will be a wonderful day. So Lord, now I just want to pray for people in here who know that there is something that has just destroyed part of them, who feel like they have little use, who feel like they are a dead end. Lord, I pray that you would revive them. I pray, Lord, that you would grow a new shoot in their heart and soul. I pray, Lord, that you would show them that your love is there for them. And I ask, Lord, that you would heal them of things that still hurt them. Lord, we pray for ourselves and we pray for our church. Lord, bring something new, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.